are pleased to welcome to the program Brooks Powell, who is founder of Thrive Plus, along with his team of Princeton students, inventing a scientifically backed hangover cure, which has been featured in Inc. magazine and Huffington Post. And Brooks, welcome to Front and Center. Brooks, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Welcome to Front and Center.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. You know, I have to say, I've done TV interviews, and I've been in pictures and stuff like that, but radio's nice because my mom always said I had a face for radio.
My mother said that, too. Well, tell us about Thrive Plus. What's this all about?
Right. So, to make a long story short, I was in a neuroscience class, and I basically came across a way to reduce short-term alcohol withdrawal, which is pretty much the largest of the seven causes of a hangover symptom, or causes of a hangover. So worked with my professor and was able to get a product out on the market.
By the way, what is your major at Princeton?
So Princeton's pretty much all liberal arts. So I do more reading and writing, but we get to take all the math and science courses as well.
And again, what motivated you to come up with this cure?
Yeah, I would say that I've always been entrepreneurial and, you know, looking for something that I thought would be worthy to dedicate my time to. And so basically when I came across this article in the Journal of Neuroscience that was pretty much fresh off the press, you know, I took it to my neuroscience professor and started discussing with him. You know, it hit me how huge the alcohol industry is, how many people drink, and how social of an activity is. And if I was able to, in some way, make that better and make a positive impact on that, you know, that would be a really, really cool thing to do in the earlier stages of your life. And so I really got excited about the idea and turned it into a business.
Now, how many years ago was this?
I started the project about 2.5 years ago, maybe closer to 3 now, but we went on the market right around 2 years ago. We just had our anniversary.
Now, this has been scientifically backed?
Yeah, we have. So all of our ingredients are based off of clinical research. We did a study with our law firm, which is Perkins Coie, and basically found that there's a 50 percentage point reduction in hangover symptoms when you take our product and compare that to a similar night of drinking.
When do you take the product? As you're drinking or after you're drinking?
It's a great question. So what we say is you take it after consuming alcohol, but before going to bed. Kind of an obvious thing because you can't take something after going to bed. But basically it's when you want to be done drinking is when you take this product.
It's consumed in capsule form?
That's correct. Except hopefully within the month, we're going to be launching an Indiegogo campaign to make the product into an effervescent powder packaged similar to Emergen-C.
How can people get the product now?
So right now, you can go to our website, which is decidethrive.com, and that's where we sell. We also sell on Amazon. And we're in a few retail stores, but we primarily sell online, and that's hopefully how we want to keep doing it. Though I will warn you, it's going to be about 2 weeks before we can actually get product out. We had a manufacturer that got behind schedule, and we couldn't keep up with demand. So it's a good problem to have, but I wish we didn't have that problem.
So, yeah, I was going to say that's a great problem to have. So apparently the product has caught on.
Yes, sir. We have some really amazing statistics where basically, you know, we sold over $100,000 worth of product already we've spent only $10,000 in ads. So that's a pretty impressive statistic there. But over 50% of our revenue comes from repeat customers. And you'd be hard-pressed to find a business, you know, with a product like ours that can get people on board like that.
Now, I read where Major League Baseball players, U.S. Olympic gold medalists, and business professionals, they're all using this product?
Yes, sir. It was a pretty funny day. I can't say their names because, you know, they're not like, we're not sponsoring them or anything. But it was a pretty special day when I had, you know, one of our guys on the team. We were looking through all the orders because normally we ship, we have a fulfillment center ship out our product. We don't usually ship it ourselves. We're looking through all the orders and, you know, all of a sudden there's three to the Olympic Training Center. And we're like, you know, is this a coach? Is this a staff member? So we look up the name, and sure enough, this is a guy that's won a gold medal 4 years ago. 8 years ago. They won silver 4 years ago, and then they'll be competing pretty soon now. So
this is fascinating to me. I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit, though. What about those who say all this is going to do is lead to people consuming more alcohol because they know they can take a pill after a night of drinking?
Totally. Yeah, I hear this question every single day, so don't feel bad about asking. So basically, the big criticism that we always get is this sounds like a hangover cure for college students. But actually, when you actually go look at who our customers are, and you actually look at statistics in the United States of who is consuming all this alcohol, it really turns out that there's three factors. Generally, the more money you make, so, you know, if you make over $75,000 a year, generally the more money you make, the more alcohol you consume. The older you get, the more alcohol you consume. And the more educated you are, the more likely you are to consume alcohol frequently. So doctors are more likely to consume alcohol than someone that never graduated from high school. So that being said, when you actually go look at our customer data, the vast majority of our customers are between the age of 35 and 55, and people under the age of 25 really only make up about 7 or 8% of our total customers. So really, what it comes down to is the people that use our product use it for the sake of opportunity cost. So you can imagine you're a lawyer or someone that, you know, makes a lot of money, and if, you know, you're operating at 80% the next day, you know, spending $2.50 to get you back up to 100% or, you know, be far better, you know, that's worth a lot of money to you. And so we found that our most likely customer is someone that needs it for the sake of reducing opportunity cost, which really just doesn't exist with people that are, you know, Vegas partiers or college students. You know, they can just sleep the next day. They're not business professionals.
But it also should be mentioned that this doesn't necessarily help you as far as warding off becoming impaired if you drink too much alcohol, right?
Yes, very, very true. There's some, you know, suggestion of that in the scientific literature, and we will never say that publicly or recommend that. And so all you do is, that's why we say take it before you go to bed. So it's not something that can sober you up.
Okay, I mean, because obviously there is a difference.
Yes. Definitely, yes, sir.
Now, is this something for which you need a patent?
Yes, sir. So that was actually really the first 6 months. So I guess it was kind of a 9-month process where, you know, the first 2 months was working with my neuroscience professor, you know, calling pharmaceutical manufacturers, you know, doing all that, while simultaneously working with a Princeton alumnus that specialized in chemical patent law. And so we really, you know, looked at this from the ground up of how do we make this the most effective thing that we can also have intellectual property on. So we're now a patent pending as a U.S. utility patent here in the United States.
Now, when we say that it's scientifically backed, as I'm saying, and as you've talked about, scientifically backed in what way? Scientists have analyzed this. Can you be more detailed?
Yeah, totally. So we basically have, so all of our individual ingredients are backed in clinical research. Now, here's the big question, is if you combine various ingredients that have backing for them in clinical research alone, will that necessarily make it more effective? And so that's, you know, that's a good question. That's, you know, why we ran this smaller scale study with Perkins Coie, our law firm, to say, hey, the science is pointing that way. But in the future, we're hoping to do a full-scale placebo study with over 100 people to really show statistical significance that this is a product, when you combine all these ingredients and you take it in this form and fashion, it is going to reduce your hangover by X amount. And so the right now, you know, we have so many customers that love it, so many people that are buying it and stuff like that, and we haven't gone and raised a seed round yet, that we just don't have the money to do a $50,000 study like that. So we're waiting until we raise money next April to do a full-scale study like that that really ends the question once and for all and proves that, without a shadow of a doubt, this is effective.
Have any medical doctors analyzed this?
Yeah, I mean, we have all of the PhDs here at Princeton that will say in the press, like, this is something that works or something that had their scientific evidence behind it. We have various customers that are, like, medical doctors, but generally speaking, you know, we don't have that, like, one press quote from a medical doctor. We have it all from, like, you know, neuroscience professors and stuff like that.
Now, is this something that at some point has to be analyzed by the FDA?
No. So all of the ingredients are chemical extracts of naturally occurring organic compounds. That's a mouthful, but it's basically saying all of our ingredients are like caffeine is to coffee. So you have a coffee bean and you can extract the caffeine, and you could just take a little tiny pill that is worth, you know, 4 cups of coffee. It's a very purified extract. And in the United States, that's governed under something called the DSHEA, the Dietary Supplements Health and Education Act. And so that's how we're technically classified. So we don't have to go through the, we don't fit as an actual drug, if that makes sense.
Now, is this just you, Brooks, and some of the professors, or do you have fellow students involved in this?
Yeah, so I have a late-term co-founder that's come on. We have, you know, the professors have been helping me from the, so it was me for about 2 years, and now I'm starting to build a team around me. So I kind of brought on a late-term co-founder. Now we're at the Princeton eLab, and now we have a team of 6 total people, with actually one full-time employee based in South Africa as well.
You mentioned your entrepreneurial spirit, but when you went to Princeton University, was this something that you were interested in doing? Did you ever envision yourself down the road while at Princeton inventing this product or a product similar?
So I still have one more year left at Princeton, and, you know, I've always wanted to own a company. You know, I didn't know if that was going to be a tech startup or a, you know, concrete company, or, you know, what it was, or a consumer product. And, you know, I just kind of had my feelers out there, per se, my sensors. And, you know, I finally came across an idea that I felt was worthy and I, you know, wanted to pursue. So I knew I wanted to start a company of some form or fashion, but I didn't know it was going to be this one. That was a surprise to me.
Talking with Brooks Powell, founder of Thrive Plus, and it is a scientifically backed hangover cure. What is this experience teaching you, Brooks?
Oh, man. So I'd first say that starting a business is hard work. And so, you know, all the, you know, brick and mortar stores out there, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of business it is. It's really just taught me a lot of respect, whether you're a convenience store owner or you founded a tech company that you sold for $2 billion. You know, the people that are the backbone of America, it's really impressive. It's really taught me hard work. So you would imagine, you know, Princeton would be the hardest thing that I've ever done. And that's not the truth. Thrive has been the hardest thing that I've ever done. Yeah.
How are you able to balance your studies in addition to putting a lot of focus on Thrive?
You know, Dan, that's a good question, and I'm still trying to figure that out.
You go without a lot of sleep. That's what it is.
Yeah. So I would say I was at a little bit of, I got a head start. So I was recruited for Princeton swim team. They're Division I. And, you know, the rule is you can only swim, you know, you can only swim 20 hours a week. Or you're a football player, you can only play 20 hours of football a week. But the truth is that between walking there and showering and talking with your coaches and just the mental energy it takes to bounce back, really it's like 30 hours a week. You know, it just takes twice as long than the actual practice itself. So I talked to my coaches and I said, I really want to start this business. Is it okay if I go pursue this? And they were really honorable, and they said, you know, you came to Princeton, you could have gone to these other schools, but you came to Princeton for an education, and, you know, we'd be remiss to not let you do that. So all of a sudden, when I, you know, left swimming, it's like I had 30 hours in my week, just, you know, right off the bat. So then I can go above and beyond that, and so it's like pretty much like I can do more than full time, and still do school. But really, it was because of that discipline that I got from, you know, waking up at 5:45 in the morning to make a 6 o'clock or 6:30 swim practice, and then start going to classes at 9 and so forth.
And by the way, it's obviously a discipline which you can carry over into your endeavor as far as making Thrive thrive, so to speak, right?
Yes, sir. The name fits.
How did you come up with the name?
You know, I've always liked the idea of, I know this sounds technical, but sort of human flourishing. So, you know, how do we make our lives better? How do we make society better? How do we just, you know, thrive in our life? And I was looking into studies, and generally products that do the best have either one or two syllables. You know, Google, Tylenol, ibuprofen, well, I guess that's multiple. And so Thrive really stuck out to me. And so we picked Thrive, and then we picked the tagline of alcohol's antidote.
Mm-hmm. This is just very fascinating to me. Talk a bit about the Princeton Entrepreneurial Hub.
Yeah, so it is a, so basically there's something called the Keller Center, and they're kind of the backbone of entrepreneurship at Princeton. And so Princeton, I think they would self-admittedly say they've been a little bit behind on the entrepreneurial curve. You know, MIT, Stanford, you know, these kind of tech schools, you know, are, you know, kind of got there first. And now Princeton is making great strides by, you know, coming in. And so there's now like 8 entrepreneurial classes. There's no major in entrepreneurship or business or anything because it's a liberal arts school. But there are certificates in entrepreneurship and technology. And then within the Keller Center, they have these special programs. So we got accepted to something called the Princeton University eLab Summer Accelerator Program. And they basically give us $20,000, free housing, and a 10-week accelerator where they give us mentors and office space. And then we actually pitch for the end of it, the accelerator, to a bunch of alumni and stuff in New York City next week. So it's really just been a great experience while they just try to, for lack of a better word, accelerate us in the process of, you know, turning this in from a small consumer products company to hopefully something that within the next few years you see it on every single shelf in America.
This is the whole thing is just so fascinating to me. What do your fellow students think about this?
Yeah, so I think they were naturally skeptical at first, and then we started getting, you know, some really, really great press reviews, where, you know, the press tried to find a way to, you know, make us, you know how press is, they try to make you look bad rather than celebrate you usually, and, you know, so they just started going out and talking to professors and, you know, talking to people that specialize in ethics and stuff like that, and everyone kept coming out on the positive side of the equation. And so when that press started coming out, that's when my classmates really started to notice.
Some people might not know what Indiegogo is all about. How about describing that for our audience?
Yes, sir. So a more common name is it's called crowdfunding. And the two biggest players in the crowdfunding segment, It's a way to raise money. The two biggest players are Kickstarter and Indiegogo. We went with Indiegogo because they're a little bit more adapted to our product. But basically what it is it's a crowdfunding website where essentially you put up your product and you say, hey, we would like to produce this product. Here's a prototype of it. Here's how much of these ingredients are going to be in it and all this kinds of stuff. And essentially, you get backers, and these backers, they give you money before ever receiving the product. Sometimes that's in the form of a donation, and sometimes that's in the form of a pre-order. But it basically allows you to sell something that doesn't yet exist. So what we're trying to do is use that to launch basically the reformation of our current product into an effervescent powder, and use that to fund the manufacturing and all that kind of stuff.
Now, when they invest, do they get any return on it?
So it's not like a investment in the sense of equity or debt or anything like that. What they're really getting is a pre-order of the product at a discounted price. So essentially their investment converts into whatever you're selling at a discounted price. Kind of like a convertible note, except not for equity, it's for inventory.
Gotcha. I asked you about your fellow students. What do your parents think of this?
So my dad, he was a small business owner. He did accounting when he was growing up until he was like 24, something like that. And then he started a pressure washing company that did well. And then now he owns a kind of a high-end convenience store in downtown, and now my mom works there. And so they're really entrepreneurs at heart as well. And so they've just been incredible through this process, you know, really encouraging me when, you know, we'll have like a bad week and the sales weren't what we expected when we ran these ads and stuff like that. And so they're really a very strong emotional backbone for me, allowing me to push forward. And they also really, really believe in the vision. So, you know, people always think this is a hangover cure for college students, and we're really dedicating our time to, showing that, no, this is actually for business professionals and adults and people that are drinking responsibly. But just with age, alcohol affects them the next day.
Brooks, great job. Can't thank you enough for being on the program today. Good luck with the product, and stay in touch.
Yes, sir. Thanks so much, Dan. I grew up listening to talk radio in my dad's truck, and so to finally be on talk radio, it's an honor.
Well, it's an honor having you on the show. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dan.
Take care.